Tithe and offering. Who needs an envelope? You know that old saying, it's not what you know, but it's who you know. You know, it really is true. It's not about how smart you are or all the things that you know that really cause somebody to prosper. It's who you know. It's who you know. And I think that Deuteronomy 28 is a great example of about who you know. And it says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all of his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obeyed the voice of the Lord your God." Blessing is not about what you know. It's about who you know. And more importantly, it's about obeying the one you know. I know. I am not immune to this. So I am in the same category. We want to do what we think is the right thing to do. Oh, I think we should do this, or I think we should do that. And a lot of times we overlook the one simple thing that we need to do. God, what do you think I should do? Or Lord, what do I need to do about this situation? And then he tells us and we go, yeah, I don't think that's a really good idea. I'm not going to do that. And he says that if we hearken diligently to obey the voice of the Lord our God, all these blessings shall come upon us and overtake us. You want blessing to come upon you and overtake you? He tells us how to do it. If we hearken diligently to obey the voice of the Lord our God. We know the God of the universe. Yes. I personally know the God of the universe. I'm name dropping. I know the Lord of all creation. And I am intimate friends with his son. We are like this. We are like this. And there's no, I'm over here. We're like this. We are covenant friends. I know him. He knows me. I have the inside track. If I would just listen, what couldn't be done? That's what Jesus says. He says, if you believe, if you have asked for anything and you believe in your heart, then it will be done. Not maybe, it will be done. Because we trust in the one whom we know. And we know God. And we're trusting in him. So it's not about what you know. It's who you know. You don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to be the cleverest. You don't have to be the hardest. You don't even have to be the hardest worker at work. You know what? You can get more done by being obedient to God than you can by just working hard all day. I've seen it. I've done it. And it always amazes me when God's on the job with me. How easy things get. And then how difficult it is when he's not. God wants to see us prosper and be blessed, but it's contingent upon our willingness to be obedient to him. Not because he doesn't care. Because that's the way it works. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you want us to prosper and that you want us to be blessed, that you want us to bless people around us, but we have to be prosperous in order to bless those around us, and that you want to prosper us that much so that we're a blessing to those around us. Lord, help us to hear your voice and help us to be obedient to that which you're asking us to do, that we might prosper in all things and that your name might get glory. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue in the life and ministry of Jesus. We're going to pick it up in Matthew 10. So if you want to turn to Matthew 10, we're going to be right in that area of scripture where we left off. I'm going to start in prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you love us so much and that we truly don't comprehend the extent of your love. We're trying to, and we want to understand more how much you love us and how much you care for us and other people and what it is that you did on our behalf. Lord, open our eyes to see. Open our ears to hear, and open our hearts to respond to what it is that you want to say today. We make a choice to hear your word, to see what it is that you want to show us, and to open our hearts to what it is that you want to say to us this morning, so that you get more glory in our lives, and that our lives are more fulfilling and more prosperous. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes it's good to just make a simple declaration that I'm going to hear and I'm going to listen. And it's amazing how often that can change your perspective just in a moment. So here we are. We were talking about Jesus and his ministry, and he takes the apostles and he sets them aside. He's got the 12 and he sends them out. And that's the beginning of Matthew 10. He called them to him. And he gave them power and authority over all sickness and disease, which is awesome. How'd you like to have power and authority over all sickness and disease? I know, I was going to, it was a setup question. It was a setup question. We have it. We have it in Christ Jesus. We have power and authority over all sickness and all disease. Well, it doesn't seem like it. That's where we struggle. We don't truly believe that we have the authority. You know, you ever go into those situations where in your own house, somebody comes in and starts doing something, you'd say, stop. I don't want you to do that. But I want to. No, stop. But I want to do that. No, this is my house. My rules, right? You know where your authority lies. And they don't have a right to do whatever they want in your house. But if you go into somebody else's house, you may not know where your boundaries lie. And we kind of struggle in that area. We don't know where our boundaries lie. We don't necessarily know. It's like you have power and authority over sickness, disease. Well, and then you hear ministers say, well, God's going to teach you through sickness and disease and show you and discipline you. And no. I mean, how many people will want to cut off your kid's arm because you want to teach him a lesson? That's what you're talking about. It's like God doesn't do that because he's loving. We, in comparison to our kind of love, we are evil compared to God. And we wouldn't do that to our own kids. God's not going to do that to us. Sickness and disease don't come from God. They don't come from God. There is a scripture that says that God can make... that all things work together for good for those that are called according to his purpose. So yes, God can use sickness and disease to cause you to learn and grow. But it doesn't mean God put it on you. You know, people talk about Job and what he suffered. God didn't put sickness and disease on Job. The devil did. God was the one that was protecting Job. Well, God lifted his hand. Yes, well, Job was under the old covenant, and it says that he was more righteous than any man on the face of the earth. If you're more righteous than any other man on the face of the earth, maybe you have a Job situation. But if you're a Christian, you have power and authority in and of yourself to take authority over sickness and disease and say, get out. It's your house. It doesn't belong there. Exactly. It's trespassing. You know, if you get somebody who breaks into your house and is trespassing, how do you get them out? Exactly. Use a gun. You use power. You use power and authority. No, that's good. You use power and authority. And if he breaks into our house, we use power and authority to kick him out. The authority we've been given in Christ Jesus, the power we're given by the Holy Spirit. This has nothing to do with my sermon. But sickness and disease don't have a right over us. I don't mean this as a condemnation, just a point of a goal, a mark to reach for. That no Christian should die of sickness or disease. No, we do. And I don't condemn anyone who does, because I understand what it is to fight with sickness and disease. I have my own battles that I deal with, and I know how difficult it can be. But the reality is, what we know in the Word is that Jesus died to set us free. So we are free. Ultimately, when we die, we go to heaven. We know that He has saved us. But not only that, it says that by His stripes we are healed. If His sacrifice, if His death and resurrection sets us free from the devil, and His body broken heals us, and the devil only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and bring sickness and disease and destruction in our lives, then we are free from anything the devil has. So we shouldn't have to deal with that, but we do. Why? Because he's a criminal. Criminals, they don't do what's right out of the goodness of their heart. They do what's wrong out of the corruption in their heart. And this is what the devil does. And so he'll go around and he's seeking whom he may devour. He's going around looking for anybody who's open, anyone who's available, and then he's going to take them. And he's going to continue to do that until somebody with power and authority comes along and says, stop in the name of Jesus. And he gave the apostles power and authority over sickness and disease. And he said, go out and preach. So that's where we're at. And he sends them out. He tells them to go out. He gave them very strict instructions. He says, Here are your parameters. Here are your guidelines. In case you're wondering, this is the area I want you to work within. You know, God will give you an area to work within. That way, if something's outside of that, you know, nope, that's not what God's asking me to do. So he says, as you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is verse 7. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely you've received, freely give. Freely. God's given it to us. He's given us power and authority. He's given us His freedom. Let's jump down to verse 16. Behold, I send you out as sheep amidst the wolves. Therefore, be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. But you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, don't worry about what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Excuse me. He says, behold, I send you out as sheep among the wolves. Therefore, be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. What? What? And this, I have constantly wondered about this scripture, but I've never really taken time to sit down and really mull it over and pull it apart and think about what's being said here. I was like, yeah, we're out there and there's people trying to hurt us and blah, blah, blah. But since I have to minister on this, that means I have to take another layer on this. So let's think about what Jesus is saying here. It's an analogy. He's sending them out to minister, to heal people, and to preach the kingdom and tell people that the kingdom is here. What kingdom? God's kingdom. God's kingdom is here. God's kingdom is here. And he said, go out, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Well, I mean, isn't that power and authority in the kingdom? We're saying, what's it mean? What is he talking about? He's talking about to the Jewish people, he's saying, God's kingdom that he promised is here. That the ruler has come who is promised, he is here, and he has brought with him all the benefits of the kingdom. And Jesus says to his disciples, go out and do this. And he says, I send you out as sheep among wolves. Now, sheep are producers. They produce, right? They've got wool. They go and eat sheep, and they make wool, and you can shear them. And which great thing about that, great illustration, is it grows back. It gets taken off, and it grows back. You know, we're constantly providing. We're providers. We have something to give. We have something to provide. We are not predators. He's not sending out predators. He didn't have a conference and say, okay, guys, let's talk about the great marketing techniques in this world and how you can get a great close. He says, I send you out into the world as sheep among wolves. Who are the wolves? The wolves are predators. They don't produce. They only consume. They only consume. And they prowl around looking for something that's available. They're looking for something that's by itself, easy target, the weak, the infirm, the left alone. Now, the sheep don't have protection in themselves. You know, they don't have claws or teeth or... Their protection comes from two sources. The shepherd and the sheepfold. So, as sheep, we want to be protected. That means that we need to stay close to the shepherd, who is Jesus. And we need to stay within the sheepfold. You ever watched any of those documentaries? The nature documentaries, and they show them where the caribou are up in the north, and the wolves are after them, and they stay in a group. They stay in a group, and the wolves can't get to them. But they get the one that wanders off, who gets left behind, or is not following the pack, gets that one, and they chase it down. Now, they may be lucky and they may get away. But it's not looking good for them. Why is it important as believers that we stick together? Because we're not wolves. We're sheep. We're sheep. And he sent us out in the world as sheep. And since he's doing that, he says, be as wise as serpents, but as harmless as doves. Serpents are wily creatures. They'll hide. And they'll wait in one spot and not move. And you won't see them until they're ready to strike. But they'll just sit there and they'll wait and they'll watch. They'll find the right space, the right place, and they'll just sit there. And they'll wait until the right moment, and then they'll get you. He says, be as wise as serpents. Be wise. Know where you're at. You know, this is like serpents aren't particularly defensive in nature. They hide. They sometimes hide in plain sight. They just hide right there. But they're wily. They're not easily found. They're not easily captured. And he says, but be as harmless as doves. What does a dove do the first sign of danger? Flies away. I thought that was interesting. A dove is not interested in hurting anyone. It doesn't, it's not going to go around. It's not like a chicken. You know, all of a sudden it'll turn feral on you and start pecking at your ankles. I've seen it. It's vicious. There's a reason there's the term henpecked. It's vicious. But he says to be like doves. Doves are very gentle. They can be very skittish. Something fast moves. We got a couple of doves that hang around our house. And anytime, you know, we get near, open the door, they're gone. So we need to be wise. We need to be aware. Know what's going on. But to not be afraid to flee at the first sign of difficulty. Now, that might go contrary to what some people think. But I'm going to back this up a little bit. And I'm going to say, let's see, what did I write down? Verse 11. Whatever city or town you enter into, inquire who is worthy and stay there until you go out of it. Wise as a serpent. Inquire. Look into. Find out. Where should I stay? Where should I go? Where's the good place? You know, and you go there, and then you begin to preach the gospel to those that are worthy. Right? Verse 14 says this, and whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from that house, shake the dust off of your feet. He didn't say continue to debate with them until you beat them into submission with your wise words and your overwhelming stats and knowledge and understanding. It didn't say that. Jesus said to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. And if somebody won't receive you, just shake it off. Shake it off. And move on. Don't let somebody's unwillingness to receive the kingdom stop you from moving forward. Even if it's your family. Even if it's your kids. Even if it's your parents. You don't stop just because somebody doesn't accept it. You keep moving forward. We are not called to be defenders of the faith. Not in the world. We're not called to be defenders of the faith. We're called to bring... I'm just going to read the way I wrote it. We are called not to be defenders of the faith, but testifiers of Jesus. See? Much better. Testifiers of Jesus. Now, we are called to defend the faith when it comes to our own house. If one of you starts spreading bad doctrine, I'm going to confront you. So don't do it. If you have a question about something, come talk to me. I'll straighten you out. But we are called to be testifiers of Jesus in this world. Which, it changes the mindset a little bit. When you think about it this way. If we come at it from a standpoint of, I need to convert these people. I need to show them all the right scriptures. I have to have all the right facts. I have to have all the right details. And I have to have the right arguments in order to convince somebody to believe in Jesus. I don't know about you, but I go, yeah, no, I'm not doing that. Because the reality is if you're basing your ability to reach people on your ability to out-argue them, you ever try to argue with a child? I drove school bus for a few months. But one of the things that they teach school bus drivers is don't enter into an argument with the kid. You'll lose. Because you're coming from a standpoint of logic and trying to argue logic. They're just arguing. They're arguing their insanity. Their crazy perception of reality. You can't reason with them. And so you say, sit down. But why? Sit down. You need to sit down. We can't go anywhere until you sit down. You know, the nice thing about this is when Jesus asks us to go share and tell people about the kingdom, he's called us to be testifiers of the kingdom. We want you to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It's your testimony. And we all have a testimony. We all have something that God has done for us. God drew me from a dark place where I saw no hope and no life, and he showed me truth. He showed me the better way. God spared my life. I should have died when I flew off that motorcycle and landed in the ditch, but God spared my life. God has kept me year after year, showing me the truth, guiding me in life. We all have testimonies. God healed me of paralysis. You all have testimonies. You all have something that God has done for you that you can easily share with people. God has given my father great patience so he doesn't kill me. Yes, God is amazing. But we can all do that easily. It's not a problem. Somebody, you know, you just enter into a conversation and go, oh yeah, you know what? When I was at this point in my life, God did this for me. God did that for me. And the more we walk with him, the more testimony we have about how good he is. Well, I don't know if God's really done anything for me. He has. The devil's just duping you. Well, it's not very important. It doesn't matter if it's important. It's important because God did it for you. God did it for your benefit because he loves you. And because he did it for you, he'll do it for others. And you can easily share that. And a great thing about that is that when you get to know other people, you can also share their testimony. I know somebody who God did this for them, and God did that for them. I know how good God is. You know what's a great thing about a testimony? You can't debate a testimony. Well, I don't believe that happened. I'm sorry. Shake the dust off and move on. Just move on. You move on, and you move on. And Jesus even says, he says, you're not going to go through all of the cities of Jerusalem, you're not going to go through all the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. That's what he said to them. He says, you're not going to get through all of them. You're not going to get it done. So just do where you're at. Just share where you're at. Those who are around you. Because I'm willing to bet God's probably put people around you who are going to benefit from your testimony. Okay. How far do I go here? You know, he didn't leave us alone either. You're not just doing this on your own. He gave us the Holy Spirit. In John 14, verse 26, he said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance the things that I have said to you." So the Holy Spirit's helping us. Do you think the Holy Spirit wants to see people saved? So if the Holy Spirit wants to see people saved, and you enter into a conversation with somebody, do you think the Holy Spirit's going to bring up things that are maybe going to stir the conversation? Steer it in the right direction so that you can come to the point of revealing Jesus to them? The Holy Spirit's job is to reveal Jesus. So if we rely on the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us. And what's great about that is he's got power. Remember, we talked about power and authority? We've been given authority, but we've also been given power. The Holy Spirit has power. You know, when it talks about creation, it says that when the creation was void and formless, it says the Holy Spirit brooded over the face of the deep. It says God spoke and it was. Who do you think did the doing? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit did the doing. And the Holy Spirit's in us. The power of creation, the one who shaped creation is in us. And you don't think he might have a few things to say to some people? He does. Just telling you, he does. And then we have in 1 Corinthians 12:7, it gives the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. These are things that the Holy Spirit can do. Some of the things he can do. And that's what we have in us. You know, you can have a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. You can have a tongue. You know, you think about that. You start talking to somebody who doesn't really speak your language very well, God can help you interpret. A supernatural ability to understand or to speak in a different language. I mean, there's more to that, but we won't get into that. There's healings. God can give you a gift to give to somebody, a gift of healing. He can give you a gift of miracles, to work miracles. Water into wine, anybody? You know, walking on water, miracles, amazing, miraculous things can happen because we're letting the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us. A word of prophecy, simply understood, saying what God's saying. You're speaking what God is saying to somebody. You know what? It says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That when we are giving a testimony, we are operating by that same spirit that prophecy comes forth from. When we're talking about Jesus. Because what is prophecy but to say what Jesus is saying? Discerning of spirits, which means that you can see what's going on in the spiritual realm. God can give you a clear understanding of what's going on in somebody's life. It's going to freak them out though, let's tell you. You get a discerning of spirits and you start telling them what you're seeing, it's going to freak them out. Maybe you should probably interpret that and just, you know, not tell them what you're seeing, but what God's wanting to convey. So we use some wisdom. Wise as serpents, harmless as dove. We don't need to be weird. We are weird. But we don't need to be any extra weird. But we have power in the Holy Spirit that He has given us, that He wants to help empower us as we testify of Jesus, because His kingdom has come and He wants to show forth, showcase His kingdom and show how He loves people and cares for people. We're gonna stop here. I think I've given you plenty to think about this week. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your truth. We thank You, Lord, that You love us and that You love people and that You have given all of us a testimony that we can use to glorify Your name. Lord, help us to have more testimonies so that we can glorify Your name more. Help us to testify of who You are and trust in You to see Your name magnified in our lives. Help us, Holy Spirit, to reach the world for the sake of Christ. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful week. Be blessed.